second hearing.
On this next item, 45 Central.
Oh, yes.
Well, yes, because my trust interests are affected, and there is a city in the US.
So we're now 45 Williams Avenue, demolition permit, design review, non-conforming permit, and variance 2016-049, consideration of adoption of resolution number 1889.
Project architect and or designer Ann Poole is here tonight representing property owners Colin and Matt Shuey, requesting a demolition permit, design review, a non-conformity permit, a tree removal permit, and a series of variances that I'll be describing shortly. The project site is located at 45 Bolinas. It's located within the town's R1 zoning district and the town's medium low.
Could you be quiet, please?
Thank you. The town's medium low general plan and density land use designation. The project designer is here this evening to show further details regarding the design of the project, but I'll just briefly describe it. The project consists of a remodel to the existing residence, a remodel to the existing detached guest house, the new construction of a 388 square foot one car garage, a new swimming pool, new landscaping, and new hardscape. Specifically, the demolition permit would be required to allow the removal of 25% or more of exterior walls and or wall coverings. The design review is required for the demolition permit and for grading for more than 50 cubic yards of soil associated with the swimming pool. A non-conforming permit is required to allow for structural alterations to the legal non-conforming main residence and guest house. And a tree removal permit is be required for the removal of a significant tree. There are a series of variances that are also being requested. There is a variance from side yard setback for the garage. The garage is proposed to be located 7 feet from the side property line, where 10 feet is required. A side yard setback for the swimming pool is also being requested. The project is designed to be approximately 3 feet from the side property line, where a 15-foot side yard setback for this feature would be required. There's a reduction of a setback for garages. So typically the standard setback in this area is 15 feet, but for garages it could be 10 feet. There's a rear yard setback variance for the swimming pool. That project is designed with a 27-foot rear yard setback, where 40 is required. And there's also a lot coverage variance to allow for the raising of an existing deck that's located within a flood zone. On July 26th of last year, this project was presented to the town's advisory design review group. This meeting was well attended by neighbors. At this meeting, the ADR generally supported the project and provided the following recommendations. The ADR identified that the project should try to reduce the amount of new impervious surfaces and use permeable materials, consider pushing back the swimming pool away from the property line at 47 Bolinas, provide details on any fencing or sports court equipment, and consider using rough natural siding material for the residents in order to blend better in with the site. Since this ADR meeting, the project has been redesigned to significantly reduce the amount of impervious surfaces that were originally being proposed. The project is designed to actually reduce the existing impervious surfaces and using permeable materials. There was originally a sports court feature associated with this project that has been removed as part of the project, and some project materials have also been modified. So there were a variety of key issues that were identified in the staff report, so I'll quickly just summarize them. One was the issue regarding swimming pools located in setbacks. So again, a variance is required, and in order to have a variance granted, you have to identify what the special circumstances are. You need to demonstrate that this would not be a grant of special privilege that other property owners in the same neighborhood have received, and it's that the project would be consistent with the zoning ordinance. The special circumstances associated with this lot are essentially the constraints of the land and the surrounding areas. There are very limited areas that could allow for this feature, and that's why it's being proposed within the setbacks. Granting variances to allow swimming pools in setbacks has historically been approved by the town council. I went back through 10 years of past approvals and identified that out of 13 swimming pool and or hot tub requests, Only one swimming pool was denied. All the other projects were approved. And if the findings can be achieved associated with this variance, then the project could be found consistent with the zoning regulations and therefore could be supported. There was an issue regarding impervious surfaces and whether or not a concrete permeable material is actually permeable, or could it be construed that that's truly an impervious surface. So the issue of impervious surfaces versus permeable materials is an ongoing discussion that the council has had. The town's past practice has been to allow the removal of existing truly impervious surfaces such as asphalt and concrete, and allow those features to be replaced with decomposed granite, permeable pavers, and permeable concrete or asphalt. So what's being requested by the applicants is consistent with what the town's practices has been, and therefore staff suggests that the use of permeable materials would be acceptable. There was another issue regarding whether or not swimming pools can be located within floodplains. In looking through the town's municipal code, and which includes the zoning ordinance, I was not able to find any specific zoning regulations regarding denials of swimming pools in floodplains. In order to provide validity to this process to either support or not support a pool in a floodplain, this town reached out to the town's past hydrologist, Matt Smeltzer, to opine on this issue. And Matt Smeltzer identified that swimming pools in floodplains wouldn't necessarily impact a floodplain, and that what's most important is on-site drainage and the detention of water. And a technical memo was prepared that was included in the staff report, and the technical memo even states that swimming pools may actually help during flood events if the pools are drawn down, because they can actually capture more on-site water. So, and I wasn't able to find any specific past action from the council relative to the denial of swimming pools based on a floodplain. Another issue that was raised was regarding the proposed height of the guest house. There is an existing legal non-conforming detached guest house that's located on the rear property line of the applicant's. The applicant is proposing to structurally alter this non-conforming structure. It's non-conforming in the sense that it is located within the setbacks. It is also an interesting structure in the sense that a portion of the structure has a two-story element, and then the remaining portion of the structure is a one-story element. And as part of this project, the applicant is proposing to redesign that guest house, shift some of the existing floor area associated with that guest house to this new garage, and come up with a new design of a 16-foot tall structure. Through this process of review, the adjacent property owner at 8 Fernhill Drive has identified that there is a possible view impact associated with the top of the roof structure of this guest house. So in this slide, you will see a picture that has been taken from 8 Fernhill showing, it's not a great picture, but showing where the storage holes are. On the slide, you can also see what the proposed west elevation is going to be, and what the proposed south elevation is going to be. I had a different picture there originally, so I just didn't change the existing. But what I asked the applicant to do in trying to potentially resolve this issue of height was I asked the applicant to show what a 2-foot height decrease could look like, and I asked the applicant to provide 1-foot increments, and the applicant was more than willing to do that. And so you can see the first red line is right there, and the second line is right there. But there's still a portion of the house that may be, or the guest house that may be visible from 8 Fernhill. The red lines, as part of the images to the right, show the portions of the building that would be that may be visible from the property at 8 Fernhill. So this view image is slightly angled, so you would see portions of this west elevation, and you would see portions of the south elevation. These other pictures show the existing height of the structure from two adjacent properties, one at Six Fern Hill and one at Fern Hill. These pictures were provided by those property owners this morning, and those emails have been forwarded to the council for consideration. In an effort to try to resolve this issue of privacy and views and aesthetics, staff is recommending a further reduction of the height of the guest house to a 13-foot height limit, or the planting of a tree, an evergreen tree, that can be located potentially up to the foundation of the guest house. Originally, I was not aware that you were able to plant trees in close proximity to a foundation. However, in reaching out to the town's arborist in the past day, I was able to get information from our town arborist that and she recommended that the laurel species is a type of tree that is evergreen. It can be planted as a large tree, it's fast growing, and it wouldn't have any significant impacts to the foundation of the building. Of interest to point out, though, is that the applicants are proposing to plant a screening tree a few feet away. Based on the vantage points of the location of that tree relative to the property at 8 Fern Hill, it doesn't appear as though that tree is actually going to provide any screening effects. So a potential for the council's consideration is to allow the applicant to move that tree closer to the guest house so that it will provide that screening effect. So another issue that was addressed in the staff report was raised decks and lot coverage variances. As you can see in this top picture to the right, this is showing the existing elevation and the existing deck height. The deck height is approximately 18 inches at the bottom of the deck. And the applicants are proposing to raise the decking area by approximately a foot and a couple of inches. And so the question is, can you raise an existing deck that's located in a flood zone? And in terms of looking at the town's past practice, the town has historically approved raising of decks within a floodplain. And by raising this deck, it is creating a variance to lot coverage. The town council has approved that. Some projects of late would be 47 Poplar, and there was a project at 87 Shady. So this is consistent with the town's past practices, and the special circumstance would be the flood zone and the floodplain. Another issue that was identified in the staff report was a privacy concern. And this is another picture that was taken from 8 Fern Hill. And at one time, there was some additional screening that provided some relief, but the applicants were permitted to remove some trees because they were not in great health. And as part of this application, a tree replacement of that tree removal permit is being included. But there is an opportunity to provide additional screening to fill in this pocket. And in this picture to the right, staff is showing where that tree could potentially be located to fill in that gap. As part of a recommended condition of approval, staff is requesting that a 12-foot tall tree be planted approximately in this area to provide that screening. The property owner at 8 Fern Hill is requesting town council consideration to amend staff's recommended condition to allow an additional provision to include a width to the size of the tree. So not only would it be the planting of one 12-foot tall tree, but the adjacent owner is requesting that the council consider adding at a minimum of 3.5 to 4 feet wide tree. I'd also like to point out that in order to address this privacy and screening issue, that there is also a provision in here that would require would allow town staff to require the applicants to plant more privacy screening before the project can be finalized. So with that, staff is recommending the town council adopt resolution 1989, conditionally approving a demolition permit, design review, variances, a nonconformity permit, and a tree removal permit to allow for the remodel of the existing single-family residence and guest house, in addition to the new construction of a swimming pool located within a side and rear yard setback. So with that, I conclude my presentation.
Thank you. Any questions from the
How tall, what is the roof height of the guest house now?
The guest house actually has two different heights, so the maximum height of the two-story structure is approximately 20 feet.
Thank you.
Go ahead. I was going to ask, is your recommendation with respect to that tree that it be an evergreen tree?
It would be an evergreen tree.
This is the second tree you're talking about.
Yeah, both trees, actually. Both recommended trees would be evergreen.
So I have a question about the second tree, which is sort of just in general. I think I can understand why there'd be a recommendation for some screening for the guest house if it's not visible now and it will be visible. But the second tree is being requested to screen a house that's been there for ages. And why would they plant a tree that's been there for ages if they, when there was a tree that died? But I don't understand why they, why that property should have to plant a tree. I don't get that. I get the first one for the guest house, but I don't see why. I mean, trees are there, trees die. Why don't you plant another one? Why do you have to plant? Why don't we require it another one?
So there's a couple different things. One is that the adjacent property at 8 Fern Hill enters. Going to speak tonight, and she can provide you further information with that. But items to consider relative to the zoning regulations would be that as part of any type of design review, you have to demonstrate consistency with the design review criteria and standards, and privacy and neighborhood compatibility is something to consider. So a couple elements of the project where additional privacy and even noise mitigation might be considered would be there would be a new pool that would be located on the property and used, so that could generate some noise, and so a tree could help to buffer that. And the deck, although only being raised a foot and some change, there could be noise that could be generated towards that property, and then maybe there could be some visual impacts as well. Another item is that there were some trees that were historically there, although diseased and needing to be removed. There was an element of some type of screening that was there, and the property owner at 8 Fern Hill, lived with that for a long time, and when there was change, the view apparently opened up a little bit more of the house. So there's an opportunity for, a privacy benefit from both property owners with the tree. That's staff's recommendation. It's up to the council to decide.
If there's an existing house and they change something and the house is visible, just because they're changing something isn't an automatic requirement to plant a tree that's higher.
No. Okay. Yeah, it's more of just trying to demonstrate consistency with the privacy guidelines.
Okay, thank you. Let's hear from the applicant.
Good evening. My name is Anne Gould. I've been working with Matt and Colin on the design of their home. And I'd like to just give a brief overview of the architectural components of the project and also speak briefly about the neighborhood outreach we've done over the last 8 months. And the landscape architect and the civil engineer are both here as well. They can answer any questions you have specifically about the landscape design and grading and drainage.
Sorry, you have to prompt me.
Oh, okay. Next. So we're proposing to lift the house 2'4" so that it meets FEMA requirements and is out of the floodplain, allowing us to make much needed modifications to the home. In addition to the interior remodel, the improvements include a new gable roof at the back of the house to replace the existing flat roof in order to unify the design. And we're also proposing a new front entry canopy and porch. This will present a better sense of entry to the house and a stronger connection from the house to the street, similar to other homes in the neighborhood. We are not increasing the floor area, but are proposing to add an attached 388 square foot garage. This additional square footage will be offset by eliminating the upper level of the existing cottage and by removing a large concrete fireplace from the main house. Because of how the house sits on the lot, we're limited to where the garage can be located, and the proposed placement where the existing driveway is the least impactful on the neighbors, the front elevation and the encroachment into the setbacks. When we met with the advisory design committee, they were generally supportive of the project, particularly as in terms of the height, bulk, and mass of the structures. But to incorporate their feedback, we made some revisions to our design and submittal. First, we modified the exterior materials for the main residence, but kept the original approved materials at the cottage, which include nature-aged farm wood siding, dark gray asphalt composition shingle roof, and divided light windows. For the main house, the paint color we had originally proposed was too light, so we modified the materials and are proposing a gray painted board-on-board siding, as well as the asphalt composition shingle roof and divided lights to match what's on the next slide. Second, there was a request by both ADR and a neighbor to reduce the size of the swimming pool. And after meeting with the neighbors, we worked out a solution to shorten it by 3 feet, moving it further away from the living space. Third, there was a request for more detail on the sport court and property line fencing. Oh, we go back. And as Heidi mentioned, we eliminated the sport court altogether from our proposal. And Brad has provided some details for the fencing at the property line. He can talk about any questions you have about that. The last comment was a request to reduce the amount of impervious surface. On our original plan, we proposed an increase in impervious material. But now, by removing the existing concrete driveway and walks and replacing them with crushed rock and impervious paving material, we have decreased the overall impervious material by 236 square feet. One of the first things that Colin and Matt did after purchasing the home was to meet with the neighbors individually to understand the history of the home and talk about their plans for renovation. Once we started the design, we considered many options, from adding a second level to a larger addition. But after receiving feedback from the community and understanding their concerns, Matt and Paula decided to keep the house as it exists, to raise it out of the floodplain. And additionally, we met with the advisory design review committee, and we addressed all the concerns and comments the members made at the meeting. After listening to constructive comments from neighbors in the committee, we made the following accommodations. First, we revised the location and reduced the size of the garage to accommodate one neighbor's request to retain natural light into their living space. Second, we reduced the size of the swimming pool. Third, we removed the second level of the cottage at the request of several of the neighbors who do not like its current height, bulk, and mass so close to the property line. And last, we agreed to privacy screenings, and the Shuey's desire is consistent with the neighbors in terms of wanting more privacy, you know, as much privacy as possible. We recently received a staff report requesting reduction of the cottage ridge height from 16 to 14 feet, and the Shuey's agreed with that. And as I've mentioned, we met with all the neighbors on all sides of the property on several occasions, and consistently were given support of our proposal. We're happy to be presenting a plan that brings the house back to life, improves the neighborhood streetscape, and balances the needs of the Shuey's with their neighbors. Thank you. Oh, and sorry, one more thing. So I also included a couple of slides. This is one from 8 Fern Hill, which again, you can kind of see where the story pools are over on the right that show the area of the guest cottage ridge height that they'll see. And the next slide shows the adjacent neighbor's view of the guest cottage, and they were okay with our original proposal of a 16-foot ridge height. And then the last slide, I just wanted to show you the current, the elevations on the left, or how the guest house currently exists. The middle two images are our previous 16-foot ridge height proposal, and then on the right, it brings it down to 14 feet.
Can I ask a question, which is just simply, what's the current elevation?
The top elevation on the highest point is 20 feet.
No, but that's the highest point, but of the point that is adjacent to our property, what's the current elevation?
It's on there, I just can't see. Can you see it, honey?
It's like 9 feet. I think it's like, it looks like it's
8 6. It's 8 6.
Yeah, it looks like 8 6.
I'm just rounding up to 9.
So it's 8 foot 6 current.
Other questions of the council members? Are there questions or comments from audience members? And each person has 3 minutes, please.
Series of went with us several times to resolve all problems that were in the original design in terms of privacy and the pool, and were in favor of the project.
Thank you. Any
questions from the audience?
Okay, then Councilman,
I'm Frank Moline. My wife Doreen and I are at the 6 foot and that's the property directly behind. So we moved in 1990, and the property at 45 Linus was in severe disrepair. And it only got worse for the next 26 years. We were hoping something might happen that never did. The property, the grounds, the structures are in severe disrepair. And I think the Shoei project did a great job fixing the situation, making this a very pretty and functional part of the neighborhood as opposed to an eyesore. So it's been for the last 26 years that we've been here. So my wife, Dorita, and I are 100% behind this project as so currently proposed. We like it very much.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak?
Aligned with the second window on the right, and that is the middle of the gap.
The guest house, as you can see from the third photo provided, is 16 feet to shoes over 30. But the roof line of the guest house adds substantial bulk and mass where there never has been any before. The height, other than the 13 feet, would be quite injurious to our property and to us. We hope you will support a height of 13 feet because there are no other trees to provide coverage, whether deciduous or otherwise. And 13 feet is quite generous for a guest house. If the recommendation by staff were to be approved, there needs to be clarification as to who makes the determination concerning which alternative to implement. We would like the town planning manager. We would like it to be the town planning manager. We believe that leaving it for the shoes to decide is truly unfair to us and a bad precedent. Also, the council agrees to a tree, that a tree should be planted in the southwest corner. We hope the council will provide the same clarification and conditions suggested to be applied to the first tree to be applied to this tree as well. The last page of the council provides those qualifications. Let's be clear here. The reason that our neighbors at 2, 4, and 6 Fernhill are supporting the project is because they're thrilled that they will no longer have to look at the top of part of the decrepit and old ugly guest house. And don't care if the bulk and mass have been shifted to our end because that's the way they bought their properties, but we didn't. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak?
Hi, Rupert Russell, 8th Fernhill Avenue. The reason why we're here tonight is because we are directly impacted neighbors and the shoes have been completely inflexible in dealing with us. The fact is that we simply want our privacy restored. The trees were there, they were removed, the screening was there to remove. We'd like to have it back. Secondly, with respect to the guest house, you've just heard that it's been lifted on our side from 8.5 feet to at least 14 feet if the shoes get their way. With respect to the other aspects of the project, we have no problem with the shoes just remodeling their home, and I think it's a great thing, and I absolutely support that. However, they do need to make sure that they do not impact on privacy. As I said, they are intending to increase the size of the deck. There will be noise from the proposed pool. We do deserve to maintain our privacy. Thank you very much.
I know you all received a letter I sent today to Heidi and the pictures from my home. I've lived with that house next to me for all these years. My concern is the disrepair of the house, not particularly the size of the house in guest cottage, but the disrepair. The improvement they're asking for improves it for 4 to 5 properties and really doesn't have, from what I can see, that much impact on the neighborhood. It does. We live in a neighborhood where I planted a tree so that I didn't have to look at that when I lived at number 37 buildings. I planted it on my side to screen that from my view. And the people that moved in after I was there, they took that tree down. But that's what I did to protect myself for the privacy. I would suggest that maybe if I didn't want to look at something, I would plant a tree on my side of the property and let it grow, and I would take care of it, then I would know what size it was going to be, how wide it was going to be, and what it was blocking. The residents, Rupert and Sylvia, have a pool on their property, and over the years, we've enjoyed hearing their children playing in the pool. We did not ask anyone to plant screening on their side of the fence to block the noise from their children playing in the pool. It's a neighborhood. There's noise. You should be welcoming the sound of the shoe children playing in the backyard instead of wondering whether the rats were going to take over your property from what was, you're showing Sylvia screening. It was a decrepit chicken coop that had been overrun with ivy and blackberry bushes. And now we don't see rats anymore. They've taken that out and the rats have gone from our property. I support this project. the way the shoot is going to be, and if we can help out with the screening, we'll do it ourselves, not ourselves. Thank you.
Sorry, what was your name?
Oh, Margie Ellis.
Okay, thank you.
By the way, we have provided 23 trees to cover the Shays house. We personally planted 23 trees to cover that house.
Hi, my name is Brad. Actually, I'm the landscape architect on the project. And in addition to the agreement that we will plant the two trees along the property line, we are there today, and I suggested planting two more, so a total of four trees. And we'll agree to the 12-foot height and the spread and other evergreen and work with nurseries and work with the neighbors. And we're on the same page. We want privacy. We want the same thing. Do you have any questions? Down here.
And then we bring it back to the council level. Who would like to comment about either the entire project or individual elements?
Well, I hate to step in front of a woman. I guess I'm being it. It sounds to me like basically very close to an agreement has been reached. Privacy is a two-way street, and neither neighbor wants to see the other, and it sounds to me like every reasonable effort is being made to provide that. I particularly like the idea of, and I'm not sure I'm expressing it right, but leaving it to our planner to decide ultimately if what is being talked about is being adequately provided. So I'm in favor of the project as it's been described tonight.
Yeah, so am I understanding that the idea is in the back where there's a gap of the screening between the properties that there would be two trees planted? Is that what you understand?
Based on what Mr. X-Ray just stated, it sounded like there would be two trees that would fill in that gap that faces the residents, and that there could be two additional trees that could screen the guest house. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we originally proposed one, and today we'll put a row, which is at least two on that side of that hole.
There's a gap where the old chicken coop was, and there's an oak tree, and then there's an area next to the guest house. We wanted to plant a large tree right next to the guest house to screen that corner, and then three trees in the real opening. When we were at the Shimmy's deck today, you can see right to eight Fernhill windows, and we want to put three evergreen trees in a row that basically back up the pool, and so we don't see each other.
So would the trees go in this area then?
That'll be 12 feet. Yeah, I don't know that you can see it from this picture, but you can see it now. This might have been taken in the summertime, or, you know, things are deciduous now. Things are more open today, and I think we should put, three evergreen trees so we have additional privacy. We agreed to the two, but I think we should do four. So we want more privacy than what was being suggested.
So how do you, if there's no row, is there that rigid legal requirement about how wide it is? Or do we just say there are four trees and you oversee it?
There would be four trees and I would oversee it. However, if when they actually plant them and it's down to three, then in order to amend that condition, we need to come back to council to reduce it. So.
Why don't we say
up to
three and four trees? If they end up with two right there that are really wide, then maybe it works. You know, I think I get nervous about putting a requirement and then there's, you know, for 3 years there's it's 3.5 feet, not 4 feet wide. But particularly if there's a couple trees, I think that two or three in that gap, mm-hmm. I think that potentially. Does the job. I do agree that, responding to your point, it is true that house is going to be raised, and so there'll
So would you like the condition to read 2 to 4 trees then? Or would you want it to be more flexible, 1 to 4 trees, and include the language of the planning manager to oversee it?
I think as long as the shoes are agreeable to it, the condition ought to be 4 trees.
That's what I say. I agree with 4 trees. Just state 4 trees.
Just to clarify,
it's not a range. It's a, it's a 4 trees.
Is it? I thought it's stated. So it says it's approved by the planning manager.
Okay.
So we can locate them and have the locations, you know, reviewed and approved prior to planting. We're on the same. We want the same thing.
Well, you see the arrow coming down here. Are you, is the council or are we proposing 4 trees right here?
Well, there's one by the fire pit, and then there's the large one tree that's on the neighbor's property.
Right?
There's 3.
Yes. That's acceptable. Yeah, I don't want to bunch all 4 trees in a circle like this, but to spread them out so they create a wall.
Yeah,
that's obviously the purpose. Yeah, that works.
My question though is, sorry, how do those trees relate to the guest house height issue?
I think that the one tree that's near the corner of the guest house, as it grows, is going to completely cover the guest house. It's going to, you know, we're suggesting a Carolina laurel cherry there, and the neighbors have planted them on their property, and they're 20 feet tall or so by 15 feet wide, and we can get a tree close to that size right off the bat. We can get a tree 12 feet tall by 4 feet wide that suggests the size of what we agree to that.
The ones that, can I ask a question? The ones that are going to remediate that gap, where will you be planting them in relation to the dangle windows they're worrying about?
We're going to plant them at a location that they completely block the views between the properties.
And then, because the middle of that gap is in the middle of the dangle windows, but then how do you would be overseeing the council decide?
Yes.
And how many trees that you would oversee where they might go?
That is correct.
Along with the landscape architect.
That's correct. And it sounds like where the proposed locations of those trees would go, it would block those windows. Because the direct vantage point is right around this area, and those are where the trees would be planted. And the bank of windows is over here.
Okay. Any other council questions?
I will move to approve
the resolution number.
Can you just clarify what the changes and conditions are?
Yeah, I'm going to amend. I'm going to state the amendments. I'm going to. Adopt resolution number 1989 with the added conditions that have been identified as adding 4 12 feet tall upon planting evergreen trees to be planted in consultation, chosen, planted in consultation with staff. To address the screening gap that exists between 8 Fern Hill and 45 Bolinas Avenue.
Yeah, what I would suggest is just rather than a consultation, be as approved by the planning manager.
As approved.
Second.
Oh, before you take action, can we clarify what the condition of approval would be for the guest house? So in the original recommendation, it was showing, staff was recommending a 14-foot height limitation. However, after the story poles were demarcated and looking at, taking into consideration the property owners at 8 Fern Hill's concerns, we provided this addendum to the council for consideration today, which would be an either-or option. It would be either reduce it to 13 feet or allow a 14-foot height limit but provide screening of that southwest corner. What would the council like to do with that?
I thought that's what you were just proposing.
No, I mean, that was a 12-foot height in the tree.
Right.
So okay. That
there's two places, for the tree. One is the gap that's being covered. The other one is the actual guest house.
Right.
Yes. So that's a separate condition.
I thought that was
Is that one of the places where the four trees, was that one of them on that side? That's what I would say, that one should be with one of them being by that side, the laurel and the three others could be in the gap.
But I also just want to be clear that what the shoes are agreeing to is the 14-foot ridge height with the four plantings, not the 13.
Okay, so that's the motion. That was my motion.
Yeah, so the
14-foot height with the
four trees
and one of them being toward that one side.
That's a 3-foot plan.
Yeah.
All right, let's take the vote.
With respect to the tree that is the adjacent to the guest house, how wide is that tree supposed to be?
We didn't specify a width. We specified that they would be approved and, you know, with staff.
Will there be any modifications of the conditions?
No.
It's not really on the tree?
No. I mean, because they're putting in three. It was went from 1 4 feet wide to three, so I don't want to specify that. I'd be nervous about specifying a width, even if they were putting in one, just because, you know, God knows it could end up with it going down, you know, a small amount inside, and then you've got a constant neighbor thing. But I really do like the idea of the three, because then I think we have a real screening.
Point of order. We have a motion in front of us. We're long past this back and forth discussion. And we got to vote on the motion.
Okay. All right, let's take the vote. Councilmember Breckus?
Aye.
Councilmember Kuhl?
Aye.
And Councilmember Robbins?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passes.
Could I make a recommendation on the next item? The intent of this next item was to have all the council members present, and obviously that, you know, and we thought tonight that would happen, it's not. In light of that, unless the council wants to go otherwise, I would probably recommend, my recommendation would be to wait till we have five council members on a night that's not too busy.
Let's not go too quickly.
Let's put it off.
I move that we postpone it until either we have five council members or some circumstance in the case that that's not going to happen.
I agree. I think we're
going to do a motion. Yeah, I think it's by consensus. Agree to put that off, but it's directed to staff to bring it back to you.
Okay. So that brings us to number 18, council correspondence. Any council correspondence that we should bring up? Like rational correspondence? Well, let me remember. I do get tell us all the floor. I got the floor ramp. Did nobody else get the floor ramp?
No.
You what? Know, the accusing end of the people of going
oh, right. Well, that's a good one.
The floor.
Then future council items. Does anyone have an item they'd like to convince another person to put on the agenda?
I'm going to pitch it. So there used to be a crossing guard at the Sir Francis Drake Bolinas, which has all the kids coming from that neighborhood going to St. Anselm's, Ross kids going to St. Anselm's, kids going to the bus stops to get taken to Dominican, and kids going to Rossville. There used to be a crossing guard. That position got eliminated. There was always discussion, did it get eliminated? Was it only there because the bridge was out or not? But at any rate, that was a subject of conversation at leadership committee, and we were kind of told no can do by G. And then with prior town manager, there was discussion, and it was, no, that's not. Kind of heard something different, and I'm wondering if there's another council member that wouldn't support. I don't know if it needs to be a council item, but if it wouldn't be supported.
Well, what it would be would be a motion to make some kind of a request to TAM to add that to their list. Is that right?
Yes, and I assume we need a council item.
Well, let me point out one other problem, or maybe it's not a problem, maybe it's a good thing. How about San Anselmo, about a favorite part of that?
Well, they're going to say San Anselmo School.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can't bring it into a discussion of this. We can bring it back for a council discussion.
Do you want me to first get information about, does it help to get information of what happened to it? And I could send that in a council memo.
Sure.
And then you could decide if there's to go further at the next time.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Any other pitches? All right. Then the meeting is adjourned.